Hi, this is the October 28, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for Grade 4. I'm Chris Radio volunteer Karen Finnegan. On the front cover is a headline that reads, Into the Fire. Find out what it was like to fight one of this year's biggest wildfires. Facing the Flames. This summer, firefighters in California battled one of the biggest blazes in state's history. As you read, think about what are some of the challenges of fighting wildfires. Words to know. Contain, verb, to keep from spreading to control. Vegetation, noun, the plant life that covers an area. The call came in just before 3 p.m. on July 24th. A fire had started in a park in Chico, California. Firefighters were there within minutes. The fire had already crossed a road and was burning trees in its path. Over the next few hours, the fire exploded in size. By 3 a.m., it had burned an area the size of about 34,000 football fields. I've never seen a fire grow so fast in my career, says Chief Garrett Soland. He has worked for the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, or CAL FIRE, for more than 25 years. Firefighters arrived from across the state. More than 6,000 people worked to contain the blaze, which was called the Park Fire. It would become the fourth largest wildfire in California state history. It wasn't the only big blaze in California or the United States this year. In late February, Texas had its biggest wildfire on record. That fire spread into Oklahoma. By late August, fires had already burned more land in Oregon than in any previous year. Burning up. It takes several factors to create a wildfire. Dry, hot weather is often one of them. In July, much of the western U.S. suffered through a heat wave. On the day the park fire began, the temperature in Chico soared above 100 degrees Fahrenheit. The extreme heat, along with a lack of moisture in the air, caused grasses and trees to dry out. Dead vegetation is perfect fuel for wildfires because it burns easily. Then all it takes is a spark. Fires can start naturally from lightning, but about 90% of wildfires are started by people. The park fire began when someone pushed a burning car into a ditch. He was arrested. Strong winds led the blaze to spread out of control. By the next morning, the fire was so bad that firefighters couldn't safely battle it directly. When you've got a big wall of fire coming at you, there's nothing a couple of fire engines are going to do to stop it, says Captain Dan Collins of CAL FIRE. As the fast-moving flames threatened nearby towns, firefighters shifted their focus to protecting people and homes. The park fire destroyed about 700 houses and other structures. Fortunately, no one was injured. Battling blazes. Like many wildfires, the park fire mostly burned through areas with few roads. Firefighters often had to hike up steep, rocky hills in the blazing heat, and they did it while wearing about 15 pounds of protective gear and carrying hoses and other equipment. Many of the firefighters worked 48-hour shifts. The park fire was contained by mid-September, but three new wildfires were burning in Southern California. For firefighters, the battle rages on. It's all about staying positive, putting your head down, and getting the job done, Collins explains. How to fight a wildfire. Battling a wildfire is different from fighting a fire in a home or a building. Wildfires often start in areas of the forest that are hard to reach. Putting out a wildfire requires special equipment and many teams working together. Planes or helicopters drop water or chemicals to slow the spread of a blaze. Fire engine teams travel to the edges of a fire. They attack the flames with water from hoses. Bulldozer teams clear away bushes and dead trees. This starves the wildfire and can stop it from spreading. Ground crews dig trenches. They also use chainsaws, rakes, and other tools to clear vegetation that might fuel a fire. These firefighters often go into areas that big trucks can't get into. Civics. Who will win? Meet the two main candidates competing to become the next U.S. president. As you read, think about what is unique about this year's presidential election. Words to know. Political parties. Noun, plural. Groups of people with similar ideas on how the government should be run. Campaign. Noun. A series of actions performed to help reach a goal, such as winning an election. The United States has elected a president every 4 years since the late 1780s. But this year's election is shaping up to be unlike any other. Election Day is November 5. The two main candidates are Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. Both have a chance to make history. Trump could become the first president since 1892 to be elected to non-consecutive, not back-to-back, terms. If Harris wins, she'll be the first woman to become president. But the historic race isn't what most Americans are expecting. Change of plans. Each candidate represents one of the two biggest political parties in the U.S. Harris is the Democratic Party's nominee, or choice. Trump is the choice of the Republican Party. Trump launched his campaign almost 2 years ago. For months, it looked like he would face President Joe Biden in a rematch of the 2020 presidential election. But Biden performed poorly in a debate against Trump in June. Biden dropped out of the race on July 21. He gave his support to his Vice President Harris to run instead. Making it official. By then, the Republicans had held their national convention. At that gathering, they nominated or officially chose Trump to be their candidate for president. Harris officially became the Democrats' choice at their convention in August. She is the first black woman and first Asian American to be chosen by a major party to run for president. Harris and Trump faced off in a debate on September 10. They were each asked to explain how they deal with the issues facing the nation. More than 67 million people watched on TV and online. The debate gave voters a chance to compare the candidates' different plans. Race to the finish line. To win the election, a candidate will need tens of millions of votes. Harris and Trump will campaign around the clock to gain as many votes as possible. They'll travel across the country to give speeches. Trump and Harris will use social media apps like TikTok and YouTube to try to connect with voters. Americans can also expect to see plenty of campaign ads on TV and online before Election Day. Who will win the race for the nation's top job? We'll find out soon. Here's some information about each candidate. Kamala Harris, born October 20, 1964, in Oakland, California. Where she lives, Washington, D.C., and Los Angeles, California. Family, Harris has been married to Doug Emhoff since 2014. She is the stepmother of Emhoff's two children from a previous marriage, Cole and Ella. Career, Harris has served as a U.S. vice president since 2021. From 2011 to 2017, she was California's attorney general. In that role, she enforced the state's laws. From 2017 to 2021, Harris represented California in the U.S. Senate. Donald Trump, born June 14, 1946, in Queens, New York, where he lives, Palm Beach, Florida. Family, Trump has been married to Melania Trump since 2005. They have an 18-year-old son, Barron. Trump has four other children from previous marriages, Donald Jr., Ivanka, Eric, and Tiffany. He also has 10 grandchildren. Career. Trump served as the 45th U.S. president from 2017 to 2021. Before that, he was a businessman who made his fortune in real estate. His companies have built luxury apartment buildings, hotels, and golf courses around the world. This year's other big races. The presidential election is just one of many big races to watch on Election Day. Find out about the others at scholastic.com/election. Culture connections. Hawaii's official hello. Many people greet their friends with a wave or a high five, but like most Hawaiians, fifth grader Maya Gilman often uses a shaka. The hand sign is made by sticking out your thumb and pinky while curling down your other fingers. People sometimes twist their wrists, too. For Hawaiians, the shaka can have several meanings. It is used to mean hello, goodbye, and thank you. It makes people smile and feel loved, Maya explains. The shaka symbolizes aloha, friendship, and encouragement. Aloha is a Hawaiian greeting used to express love and peace. Hawaiians have been using the hand sign for decades, but the shaka's special role is now official. In May, lawmakers in Hawaii passed a bill, a written plan for a law, to make it the official state gesture. Governor Josh Green signed the bill into law in June. The law also recognizes Hawaii as the shaka's birthplace. It's about really celebrating what is uniquely Hawaiian with the rest of the world, explained State Senator Glenn Wakai. On the move. From Rhode Island to California, this herd is making its way across the U.S. without moving a muscle. That's because they're sculptures in a traveling exhibit called The Great Elephant Migration. Each life-size statue was handmade by indigenous or native people from an area of India called Nilgiri Hills. To make the models, artists used a shrub called Lantana camara. The plant destroys the habitats of endangered elephants and other species. Money raised by selling the statues will support groups that protect animals. Organizers hope the exhibit will inspire people to live peacefully with real wildlife. A 5-foot-tall, 220-pound baby elephant sculpture sells for $8,000. Debate it. Should we stop changing the clocks? Most kids in the U.S. will soon have less time to play outside because it gets dark. Most kids in the U.S. will soon have less time to play outside before it gets dark. That's because daylight savings time, DST, ends on November 3rd. In most states, people will set their clocks back 1 hour. They'll, quote, fall back, unquote, to what's called standard time. When DST starts again in March, people will, quote, spring forward, unquote, by moving their clocks ahead an hour. The sun sets later during DST, which was introduced in the U.S. in 1918. The idea was that people would rely on sunlight instead of electricity to light their homes for longer periods. Today, many people think it's time to stop all the back and forth. Critics of the time change point out that Hawaii and most of Arizona are always on standard time. They argue that our bodies are used to standard time and changing the clocks can disrupt our sleep patterns. But others like switching to DST. They say the extra daylight encourages people to be more active after work and school. Others say DST can help businesses because people stay out later. Here's what two of our readers think. Keone Liquorish of Hawaii says, yes, we should stop changing the clocks. We don't have DST in Hawaii. People here do just fine following standard time year-round. I don't think other states need to switch to DST either. Changing the clocks would mess up people's sleep. If kids don't get enough rest, they may not do their best in class. I know I get grumpy if I don't sleep well. And having to change the clocks must be confusing. What if people forget? They could be late for work or school. Lucia Gilslick of Maine says, no. It's good to change the clocks a couple of times a year. In the fall, we gain an extra hour of sleep on the night we turn back our clocks. And in the spring, it's nice to have extra daylight in the evening. I can play lacrosse after school when it's still light outside. DST may also help save lives. Some studies have found that the number of car accidents drops during DST. That's because drivers can see better in the evening. News review, Halloween fun facts. 1928 was the year the phrase trick-or-treat was first used in the U.S. About 57% of Americans said they'd consider living in a haunted house. 1 out of 5 pet owners dress up their pets for Halloween. These are the most popular costumes, pumpkin, hot dog, and bat. Americans spend $3.6 billion on Halloween candy last year. Here are the 5 top sellers. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, M&M's, Hot Tamales, Skittles, and Sour Patch Kids. On the last page of this issue, there's an infographic about Halloween fun facts. You might want to ask your parent, teacher, or guardian to help you with the questions related to it. There are also questions related to the rest of the issue that you can ask for help with. That completes the October 28, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for Grade 4. I'm Karen Finnegan. So long until next time.